Welcome to the W5BSA repeater.
W5BSA.
W5BSA repeater. Automatic control operator change over M4.
BSA, AG5 JSC, you loud and clear.
Hey, JSC, good evening. Thank you. Thanks very much. We're going to, I think Marty's going to be starting the amateur satellite net here in about 8 minutes and just putting it in a different mode so it doesn't get timed out so easy when he gets ready to crank it up. How you doing?
I'm doing real good. Got a little new radio here I'm playing around with, and you know, I'm glad that net's gonna be on tonight. I'll have something to listen to.
Yeah, it's the amateur satellite network net, and Marty's been doing it. Gosh, we've been having it here going on 20 plus years. And it's all about the what's going on this week in the world of amateur satellites and stuff. So it's really fun. Glad to have them hosted on the 145.19 repeater here. Are you familiar with the HAMCOM coming up in March?
Not at all, no.
Oh man, I'm glad I asked. Okay, so you can get the information over at the Brazos Valley Amateur Radio Club website, VMARC, as a lot of people call it, and it'll be in March. I don't know exactly when, but maybe if we don't want to get too close to the net here. Oh yeah, we're only, let's see. But yeah, we got a couple of minutes. If you go over to VMARC website, it'll be at the Rosenberg Fairgrounds, you know, they're kind of south on 59, Friday and Saturday, and like AMSAT will have a booth there, launch a few balloons, a lot of the amateur radio clubs will be there, so when you get a chance, check it. While we're out here real quick, I need to clear off here in a minute or so, tell me about the new radio you got. What'd you get?
I got a little 25 water. It's got the display and keypad, everything built into the handset, and it's just a little small thing that sits in the palm of your hand. That's the actual transceiver that can be thrown underneath your seat or whatever. So I'm just trying it out here. I'm gonna put it in my truck. If it sounds good.
What brand is it? It's got really, really good audio. I like the way it sounds.
I think it's Anisec. I honestly couldn't tell you how to pronounce it. It's a little Chinese radio that picks up for under $100 a line.
Nice. Man, like I said, it's... My first thing with SpaceX and they got a new radio is I listened to the audio quality and it sounds really, really good.
Great. Glad to hear. And, yeah, we can clear off here for the net and I'll holler at you later.
Okay, and please do check in to the net whenever Marty starts it here in a minute. We'll catch you a little bit later, W5BSA.
Thank you. 25 JSC up.
W5BSA repeater.
Good evening, folks. QST, this is Marty, WV5Y. It's once again time for another edition of the Houston AmSatNet. This net meets on Tuesdays to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. This is net number 1598, and it's 8 p.m. Central Time, Tuesday, February the 11th, 2025, which in UTC time is Wednesday, February the 12th, 2025 at 0200. This is a directed net, and all calls should go through net control. And this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, W5ACM. And thanks to Joe, W5BSA, we're on the 145.19 repeater here in West Houston. The PL tone is 123.0, and he's got the repeater all set here for the net, and we've got Joe checked in there. We have any other local check-ins coming out?
Whiskey Delta 5, Juliet Romeo Delta, WD5JRD, Carl, Jersey Village. Good evening, Marty.
Okay, well, we're going to start with a little bit of info about the South Texas Blue launch team. We haven't had an update on BLT-139 here in about a week or so. It was on its third trip around the world. It's been up, would be up for about 5 weeks now. So it's not too unlikely that it may have come down by now, but we'll keep our eyes out for that. And, of course, the South Texas Blue Launch Team does have its monthly meeting on the second Wednesday of the month. And so that would be, I guess, tomorrow. And let's see here. They usually have it there at a local restaurant here in town about 4:30 p.m. And then they have a meeting on Zoom. And that's thanks to Walter. And that's at k5wh.net/Zoom. And that's at 8 p.m. Central Time. So that would be tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. And we'll find out updates on BLT and plans for the future. So we appreciate that stuff there coming from Walter. Okay, let's see. We're going over here to the AMSAT News Service Bulletins. And, see, this is AMSAT News Service Bulletin number 40. And tonight's editor is Mitch Ehrensdorf, AD0HJ. The AMSAT News Service Bulletins are a free weekly news and information service of AMSAT, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including reports on the activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators who share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating to analog and digital amateur radio satellites. And the news feed on www.amsat.org publishes news of amateur radio in space as soon as our volunteers can post it. So please send any amateur satellite news or reports to ans-editor@amsat.org. And you can sign up for a free email delivery of the AMSAT News Service Bulletins via the ANS list. And that's over at mailman.amsat.org/Pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org. Okay, AMSAT EAs, Hades R was successfully deployed and is transmitting telemetry. The Hades R amateur radio satellite, operated by AMSAT EA, has been successfully deployed and is functioning as expected. According to AMSAT EA, and of course that's Spain, update on January the 23rd, the satellite is transmitting telemetry data and the initial health reports indicate it is in good condition. The team is actively receiving data and preparing to transition the satellite into repeater mode once all necessary checks are completed. Amateur radio operators worldwide are encouraged to share their telemetry reports to assist in confirming its operational status. The deployment occurred on January the 22nd at 1542 UTC from the D-Orbit Ion SCV-16 orbital transfer vehicle after launching on January the 14th aboard a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket as part of the Transporter 12 mission, and that's from Vandenberg Space Force Base. The mission carried 131 payloads, including amateur radio satellites Hades-R and Paris-T1. Due to the large number of satellites on board, deployments were staggered over several days. Early signals were reported by amateur operators, but official confirmation from AMSAT-EA followed later. Transmissions began shortly after deployment, though the FM repeater remains inactive as testing and validation processes continue. Hades-R is designed to provide FM voice repeater capabilities. The satellite also supports various digital modes, including FSK telemetry and APRS at up to 1200 BPS. Features a downlink frequency of 436.888 MHz as coordinated by the International Amateur Radio Union, the IARU. While FM voice is its primary mission, it will also transmit experimental data and FSK telemetry. The uplink frequency is 145.925 MHz, supporting FM voice and the various digital modes, including AX.25 and APRS. The FM repeater will operate without requiring a subtone, activated via squelch level. As part of AMSAT-EA's ongoing efforts to expand amateur radio satellite operations, this spacecraft is the first of two instruments for Hades-D, which was SO-121. The second, Hades-ICM, is expected to launch on the upcoming Transporter 13 mission in March of 2025. Both satellites will provide FM and digital communication options, allowing amateur operators to engage in long-distance contacts. Additionally, Hades-ICM will host an experimental payload from the University of Manchester's Smart Infrared Graphene Engineering Innovation Center, or the GEIC, testing a low-power active radiator under space conditions. AMSAT-EA has urged the amateur radio community to continue monitoring transmissions and sharing received telemetry data as the satellite progresses towards full operational capability. And we want to thank AMSAT-EA and Jose Rodriguez, EB1AO, for that information. Hey, this is Marty, WV5Y on the Houston AMSAT.net. I want to remind everybody that you can call and make a quick phone check into the net by calling 713-467-9870. You can send an APRS message, and that's to WV5Y or West Virginia 5 Yankee with no dashes and no numbers, as Andy used to like to say. And you can also send an email, and that's to wv5y@comcast.net. And thanks to Bruce, KK5DO, our webmaster, who does our website over at amsatnet.com, there is a URL and a link, and you can follow along with tonight's items by clicking on the links there if you so desire. Okay, Blue Origin simulates lunar gravity on a landmark new Shepard flight. Blue Origin successfully launched its NS-29 mission on February the 4th, marking a significant milestone in suborbital research. The mission, which lifted off from the company's West Texas launch site at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, or 1600 UTC, was originally scheduled for January 28th, but was delayed due to weather and technical issues. This flight was the 29th for the reusable New Shepard vehicle and featured a unique capability, the simulation of lunar gravity in suborbital space.
BL-123.
The NS-29 mission proceeded as planned, with both the booster and the crew capsule executing safe returns to Earth. The booster performed a controlled vertical landing on the designated pad, while the capsule descended under parachutes, touched down in the West Texas desert approximately 10 minutes after launch. However, one of the capsule's three pickups not fully open. Blue Origin officials assured viewers during the live broadcast that the spacecraft is designed to land safely even if not all parachutes fully deploy. And that key feature of this mission was its ability to generate lunar gravity forces, which was a first for New Shepard. The capsule achieved this by rotating about 11 times per minute for 2 minutes using its reaction control thrusters. This capability was developed to support research on lunar-related technologies benefiting the 30 payloads aboard the spacecraft. Among these, 29 experiments were specifically designed to test innovations applicable to the moon's environment. Blue Origin categorized these experiments into 6 focus areas: in situ resource utilization, dust migration, advanced habitation systems, sensors and instrumentation, small spacecraft technologies, and entry, descent, and landing methods. Many of these experiments were backed by NASA's Flight Opportunities Program, underscoring the space agency's commitment to developing technology for lunar exploration. With the Artemis program aiming for long-term human presence on the moon, missions like NS-29 provide valuable data to refine critical systems for future lunar operations. Notable NASA-supported experiments aboard NS-29 included the Electrostatic Dust Lofting Project, which examined how lunar dust becomes electrically charged and moves when exposed to ultraviolet light. Another key experiment, the Lunar G Combustion Investigation, studied the behavior in lunar gravity compared to Earth's, helping to enhance safety in future lunar habitats. And other experiments tested propellant management in low gravity, soil analysis tools, and small satellite propulsion systems, all contributing to advanced space exploration technologies. New Shepard, named after astronaut Alan Shepard, has been operational since first uncrewed flight in April of 2015. The vehicle made history in 2021 by carrying Jeff Bezos and 3 others on its first crewed flight. While primarily known for space tourism, with 9 of its 29 flights carrying passengers, the system continues to play a critical role in scientific research. The successful NS-29 mission not only demonstrated Blue Origin's ability to simulate lunar gravity, but also reinforced its contribution to advancing space technology in support of NASA's lunar ambitions. And we want to thank Mike Wall from space.com for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. Looks like we're a little bit past quarter past the hour, so we're going to take a standby here and take a look and see who we've got checking in. Okay, we got Charlie, K5ENG, and he's over there in West Houston, and we're checking him in this evening, as well as Kai in 6ZZO. He's out there in McKinleyville, California, and he's one of our podcast listeners, and he checks in through the landline there on Wednesdays, so we appreciate hearing from Kai. We got Dale, WD0AKO, sorry. And he's, of course, he's up there in Moorhead, Minnesota, in the cold country. And he does the backup archiving of the audio for the website. And he's got that on automatic. So as long as they got power and internet, and doesn't matter about how cold it gets, but they're about the same latitude as Fargo, North Dakota. So they're way up there. Okay, let's see. From IRC, looks like we've got Ken, AK0A, Clay, KG4OZW, Brian, KG4WIJ, Renee, NZ9T, and Bob, K8WX. And then from EchoLink, see, we've got Andrew, KC5LWY, and he's down there in Galp. The Andrew. And we've got Mitch, AD0HJ. Good evening to him. He's up there in Jackson, Minnesota, and he happens to be tonight's editor of the AmSat News Service Bulletin. And, of course, thanks to Mitch, you can participate in the Wednesday night AmSatNet, and that takes place on DMR, and that's on the AmSat Digital Talk Group of 98006 or YSF Fusion 11689. So we appreciate Mitch putting on that net, and that's at 9 p.m. Central Time on Wednesdays. So jump in there, and if you're especially going to be doing any roving, making any grids available for satellite like that, you might want to let Mitch know. Okay, we've got Steve, KA5YFC. Good evening to him this evening. And hello to Bob, K9OIM. And then also Damien, AG9P. Of course, he's up there in Oconto, Wisconsin. So good evening to Damien. He's been with us for many years. And also hello to Endoff, N6UTC. And he's over there in Long Beach, California. So I hope everything's going good over there with Endoff. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y with the Houston AmSatNet. One more reminder that you can find our website over at www.amsatnet.com, and with good info over there. Also on how to make get awards for making satellite contacts, thanks to Bruce, since Bruce is also the AmSat award guy. And so we appreciate him doing that, and you can find a bunch more of that good info, and that's over at amsat.org. You can find info on the status of the satellites, the frequencies that they're operating on. There's information about next year's symposium, And then there's also the AMSAT store, so you can even buy satellite antennas. And, of course, when you do, 25% of the purchase price helps to go keep satellites operating in space for amateurs. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT net. The 2025 AMSAT President's Club coins have just arrived. You can celebrate the 40th anniversary of amateur radio on human spaceflight. And you can help support GOLF and the Fox Plus projects. Join the AMSAT President's Club today, and you just go over to www.amsat.org/join-the-amsat-presidents-club.
CL-123.
All right. Interloon, a Seattle-based startup founded by former Blue Origin technologists, is aiming to harvest helium-3 from the moon to support quantum computing applications on Earth. Helium-3, a rare isotope deposited into the lunar regolith by solar wind, was first identified in samples brought back by NASA's Apollo missions. While the potential applications of helium-3 have intrigued scientists for years, recent astrological data research highlights significant challenges in extracting the isotope. The U.S. Geological Survey, the USGS, suggests that obtaining commercially viable amounts would require processing millions of tons of lunar regolith, a task comparable to large-scale mining operations on Earth. But, despite these hurdles, Interloon CEO Rob Myronson remains optimistic. The company envisions an extraction system operating like an agricultural setup with 5 harvesters each size of a large SUV. Myronson acknowledges that it will take years before the company sees a financial return, but he emphasizes the growing demand for helium-3 in quantum computing. This isotope plays a critical role in cooling superconducting quantum computers to temperatures close to absolute zero, with quantum computing companies recognizing the need for a stable helium-3 supply. Interloon believes now is the time to act. And Interloon is not the first to consider the commercial potential of lunar helium-3. Apollo 17 astronaut and Interloon's executive chairman, Jack Schmidt, has long advocated its use in nuclear fusion reactors. However, investment interest has shifted towards quantum computing applications, which promise quicker returns. Beyond computing, helium-3 has other potential uses, including medical imaging and radiation detection. Interloon hopes to eventually supply tens of kilograms per year, a goal that Myronson believes is both realistic and financially sustainable given current market prices of around $20 million per kilogram. Of course, you know, like with anything, the supply goes up, the price comes down. Okay, however, some experts remain skeptical about the feasibility of large-scale helium-3 extraction from the moon. Laszlo Kislevsky, a research geologist at the USGS Astrological Astrogeology Science Center knows that the lunar helium-3 concentrations range from just 2.4 to 26 parts per billion in Apollo samples. Given these figures, obtaining a single kilogram would require processing between 100,000 and 1 million tons of lunar soil. Kislepel stops short of dismissing the endeavor outright, stating that the moon does contain resources, is merely a question of how they can be effectively utilized. And to address these concerns, Interlune is planning a resource development mission in 2020 to analyze helium-3 concentrations at a potential mining site. This mission will be followed by a pilot plant in 2029 to demonstrate extraction and processing on the lunar surface. The company's initial lunar mission will launch through NASA's Commercial Lunar Payload Services Initiative. Interlune is actively securing funding, having already raised $18 million, with plans for another round of fundraising in the near future. Okay, while profitability remains uncertain, experts acknowledge that Interlune's success will depend on the efficiency of its extraction methods. Chris Dwyer from the Colorado School of Mines notes that certain minerals trap more helium-3 than others, potentially increasing yield in select locations. However, large-scale excavation will be necessary, posing technical challenges, particularly with lunar dust. Despite these obstacles, Dwyer believes that iterative development, designing, testing, and improving equipment could make Interlune's ambitions feasible. As advances in space exploration continue, the prospect of mining helium-3 on the moon is becoming an increasingly tangible reality. And we want to thank Leonard David from Space News for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AmSatNet. We're about a minute away from being half past the hour, so we're going to go ahead and take a quick standby and see if we have any local check-ins. So any late local check-ins, come now.
KJ5GXU, Josh in Richmond.
I'm here in Richmond, and that was KJ5GAQ, is that right?
Negative, Golf X-ray Uniform, GXU, KJ5GXU. Sorry about that, I should have said it twice.
Okay, KJ5GXU, is that right?
That is it. Sorry about the confusion.
No problem at all. No problem at all. We're glad to have you aboard, and I hope you enjoy the net. And I know not everybody's into satellites, but the more exposure you get, it's kind of fun. And the ISS goes over, and you can copy the signal come down on both APRS and voice, and so that's kind of interesting to check out.
I still need to wrap my head around how APRS works, but I definitely have an interest in it. The voice side, we've tried a few times. Joe seems to have the best luck out of all of us.
Yeah, I know the action on there can be pretty intense sometimes. They, especially, I know, would get on during a weekend on a Saturday afternoon, and ended up working Bruce, KK5VO, which is our webmaster and other operator here, and he's just up there in Redmond Forest in the very north part of Houston. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AmSat Net. Let's see, we've got the list, the VUCC and the DXCC satellite standings for February 2025. And, of course, you get your DXCC by working 100 different countries via satellite. And so it's not an easy one. And we'll look here at the list. The VUCC Satellite Award and Endorsement Change Summary. Let's see who's first. So we'll go through that one. Okay, here we go. First of all, with the top of the list, we've got K8DP, and let's see, I think we're just going to read the totals that they've got now. I mean, this is a change summary, so he's going from 1629 to 1737, but we'll just let everybody know where everybody is at currently. Okay, we've got WA4NVM with 1676, WC7V with 1611, DF2ET with 1602, DL5GAC with 1576, and he is new on the list with quite a large number of contacts. Okay, we've got DL2GRC with 1501, AA5PK 1500, NARO 1490, W5CBF 1326, N0JE 1225, MI6GTY with 1201, F4BKV with 1200, KF4R 1175, N9EAT 1127, AC7O 1126, XE1AO 1111. Okay, we've got N3GS with 1103, OZ9AAR with 1100, JK2XXK with 1086, K9UO with 1030, also KE8 RJU has 1030, EA2AA 1026, W2GDJ 1022, JN2QVCV has 1016, VE6WQ 1007, K6FW 1005, K7TAB 1003, YO2CMI 1003, PR8KW 1001, KQ4DO has 952, so does N8JCM, who is new on the list. Okay, we've got FG8OZ. FG8OJ with 935, HP9AOF with 907, as is KN2K, JL1SAM has 905, BU2LBW 902, KGOD 900,
W8LR 897, N0GVK 867, JS1LQI 808, K0JM, hey, has 801. All right, we've got IK3ITB with 800, KK4YEL 799, N5BO 786, JG6CDH with 777, N8MR has 755, KS1G has 754, KC4CJ 751, WD9EWK and grid DM43 has 737. Alright, we've got KB1HY 727, as does WA4HFN, but we've got N3CAL with 686, AC9DX with 682, A65BR with 676, LY4AA is new on the list with 670, N7ZO is going from 350 to 659, that's a big jump. AF5CC is going from, let's see, no, we're not doing that. It said 651, okay, as is IK7FMQ and N6UTC, NDOF, hey. Okay, we've got VE7PTN with 635, XE1UYS with 634, LA6OP, new on the list with 632, JN1BPM with 630, N5EKO 622, SA0UNX 617, F6GLJ 609, EA3TA 607, RA3DNC 599, XC2YWH 595, JA1JZK 575, WB7VUF 572, BE7MM 561, HB9GWJ going for, it's got 553, DL6KBG 550, as is WB7QXU. We've got W7FF with 545, and he's new on the list. All right, we've got KH6WI with 530, KT3V 526, KO9A 524, AD2DD 517, SV8CS with 511, new on the list. We've got VA3VGR with 509, HP2XV 508, KF2T 505, E70A is new on the list with 504, AL7ID 502, N9TZS 501, I3BUI, the dyslexia kicking in there, is new on the list with 500. Okay, we've also got IK0USO with 500, as is JR0JAS and KA9CFD. At 495, we've got PA7RA, N6PAZ with 479, AB1OC 476, W3TI 465, N7UJJ 462, DLAGAM 450, as is N8URE and grid FM19. Okay, we're down to the 400, so it can only be like around 400 more. We've got AG4W with 438, W03T, new on the list with 437, BJ7NT with 432, JI5USJ 425, K4RGK 421, F6EQD 420, HC2FG 413. We've got JE3HCZ with 410, W3FVHF with 406, ZF2BK with 405, NJ2DX with 404, SP5ULN with 404, and JO4JKL with 401. Okay, at 400, we've got FK0QS and ON4CCN. With 376 contacts, we've got K6VHF and W6AER. HB9RYZ is at 365. KB3IAI is at 358, as is KEAAKW. Okay, then we're getting some more new folks on the list, hence why it's getting so long. We've got WB9BIN with 356. We've got K3HPA at 350. Then some new ones. We've got LA9KY new at 347. N8HRZ new at 337. AG1A new at 335. JH8RZJ new at 328 and W0PR new at 327. We have N4QWF with 325, JH0BBE 324, N9XG 310, KG4ERR is new with 301, IK8YTA has 300, as does K7OGW, K9JKM, W6CZ, and XE1P.
CL123.
Oh, and by the way, that group of 300, W6CZ is new, as is K7OGW. Okay, we've got another new guy. It's KG0I at 297, JE2UFF at 280, JF3MKC at 280, KB9DAK at 278, as is W6IA. All right, we've got AA0MZ at 277, WA3YDZ at 271, IN3EQZ at 268, DL5KUA at 266. Then we've got some new folks. We've got W0BZ at 256, W5WO at 255, AA0K at 253, SP7JS at 253, and WH6WI/W9 in grid EN53 is also new at 250, so all those folks are new. Then we've got I1FQH at 249, and BX1AD over there in China is new at 237. Alright, WA8ZID at 230, KB4DSL at 226, N7GR at 226, DF5SF is new, as is KB2MSF, and they're at 217 and 215. We've got AK0WRB at 213, PU5DDC at 213, we've got KR7LD at 211, as is RA0FF. All right. Boy, we got a lot of new folks here on this list. Let's see. We've got PY2YJ at 210. Then we've got N4UFO at 206. K0JQZ at 205. As is W2WLS and WD5GRW. Then at 202, we have 9A2GA. And then at 200, we've got a couple of new folks. No, we've got one new folk, EK/RX3DPK. And we've also got WD9EWK in DM22 and WD9EWK in DM31 with 200. Okay, we have an update here for Mitch. He says it's been a long time since he submitted any new VUCC, so we're glad to have all those new folks aboard, and looks like there's a lot more satellite activity and interest here, and people getting on the list. Okay, we've got NK0F with 169, 7J1ADJ with 164, W4FDU with 163, new is JK4JMO with 161, we've got GH0GSU with 156, AE5AU is new with 153, KJ7SXR is new with 151, EA4DEI is 150, G4BWP new with 150, K2MJP has 150, and also KADARTT has 150. Okay, we've got VE3JO in 149, IC8TEM in 147, as is VE3AAZ. Then in 140, a new person, SV8CKM. WD9EWK in DM25, it's got 138. W0SX 134 is new. As got a couple here from China. We've got BD8CBU, that's 132. BI8FFH is new with 132. And then we've got DH9DX is a new person there from Germany with 131. PU8MRS has 129, as does XE2/CO6LAR. Okay, we've gotten the end off. N6UTC is listing for Grid Square DM05. He's got 128. We've got ER1KW, new with 127. XE2YWH in DL82/D is 119. And XE2YWH in DL82 has 119. Alright, this is Marty, WZ5Y, and the Houston AmSatNet. Let's see, we've got NC0Q with 108, XE1RCU 108, K7AXA 104, XE1YD 104, BG6HXD 103, KK7OVF 103, N6NU 103, YO6OEV 103, 482MAX, new with 102, BI1QGX, new with 102, actually all these people are new, DL3NGN has 102, N2YZH 101, SV2DFJ 101, BA7LGV 100, K7DOG 100, KD2YIB 100, LZ2SV, N5YIZ, VK5DG, W4BB, W4XP, and YB1RXP, YB1RXQX/P is new with 100. And we want to Let's see, that is the DXCC semi-award endorsement change summary. I've just given you the what the change ended up to, and that was on February the 1st, 2025. Okay, Spears the VCC endorsement. See, for, I guess that's 50 grid squares. Or no, it's 100, I guess, grid squares. It's a lot easier than 100 countries, anyway. So here we go with the DXCC Satellite Award endorsement change summary. Same period. And this is actually the countries, not the grids. Alright, we've got OE9DGV at the top of the list, going from 212 to 213, YO3APJ from 162 to 165, EA2AA from 157 to 158, HB9RYZ from 152 to 153, IK4DRY from 122 to 144, RA3DNC from 131 to 143, IK7FMQ from 120 to 128, SM2OAN from 109 to 117, G4DWP from 100 to 105. Then we got some new folks here on this list. We've got R5DT with 102, WI7P with 102, I4MKN with 101, and LY4AA and 0GVK with 100. Okay, N0GVK is the first DXCC satellite holder from EN00, so congratulations to that new DXCC satellite holder. Alright, we want to thank John Goering, N7AZ, for that information. Hey, if you need any satellite antennas, you can purchase an N2 LEO pack from the AMSAT store. When you purchase through AMSAT, a portion of the proceeds goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. And you can just go over to amsat.org/product-category/hardware.
CL123.
Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AmSat Net. Let's see, we've got some changes to the two-line elements, or the Keplerian elements, which are the inputs to the SGP4 standard mathematical model of spacecraft orbits used by most amateur tracking programs. For this week, we've got Hyperview 1G, or RS66S, NORAD catalog ID 61772. It's on a downlink of 436.540 MHz. And also, object BA, or ZIMSAT-2, NORAD catalog ID 71783. It's on a downlink of 437.050 MHz. All right, amateurs and others around the world may listen in on contacts between amateurs operating in schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts aboard the International Space Station. And the downlink frequency on which to listen is 145.800 MHz worldwide. Alright, we've got a couple of recently completed contacts. We've got the Aznakovo schools in Aznakovo, Aznakovsky District, Republic of Tatarstan, Russia, had a contact direct via RC4P with RF0ISS and Ivan Wagner. They got some help from RV3DR, and the contact was on 2-1-2025 at 11:15 UTC. public primary school in La Pierre, France, had a contact, Dravia KF, F5KLF. Their ISS call sign was OR4ISS. They talked to Don Petit, KD5MDT. The mentor was F6ICS. And the contact was Friday, 27-2025 at 14-2707 UTC. Kaliningrad, Russia, has ISS call sign of R0ISS. They will be talking to Alex Gorbunov, and that's on Tuesday, 2-11-2025 at 0935 UTC with help from RV3DR. And then the City of Clifton Arts Center and Sculpture Park, Clifton, New Jersey, has a contact with help from W2NPT and AA6TB. They'll be talking to NA1SS and Don Petit, KD5MVP. That's on Wednesday, 2-12-2025 at 18-14-13 UTC. You might be able to find a school contact doing a live stream, so you can look over at live.aris.org to see if a school is live streaming. The crossband repeater on the ISS continues to be active on 145.990 MHz up with a PL tone of 67 and 437.800 MHz down. You can end up talking to an astronaut. All they have to do is talk, raise the volume up on the radio, talk into the mic, and you can be talking to them on the crossband repeater instead of somebody on the ground. So give a listen. You never know. Okay, the packet system on the ISS is on 145.825 MHz up and down. And you can find the latest information for ARIS. It's over at www.aris.org/current-status-of-iss-stations.html. And we want to thank Charlie Stefana, AJ9N, one of the ARIS operation team mentors, for that information. Alright, this is Marty, WV5Y with the Houston AmSatNet. We've got some activities here taking place, being manned by AmSat ambassadors. We've got the Yuma Ham Fest and Southwestern Division Convention, February 14th through the 15th at the Yuma County Fairgrounds. So check out www.yumahamfest.com. Then the Midwinter Madness Hamfest, March 22nd, Buffalo Civic Center in Buffalo, Minnesota at 1306 County Road 134. And that's at k0ltc.org/midwinter/madness. Okay, there's also the Southeast VHF Conference, April 4th through the 5th. And that's at the Quality Inn, Exit 4, 3095 Wilma Rudolph Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. And you can go to svhfs.org/wp/2025-conference. Okay, you can join AmSat today by going to launch.amsat.org. In addition to regular membership, AmSat offers membership to societies, which is a recognized group, club, or organization. Primary and secondary school students are eligible for membership at one half the fair yearly rate. Post-secondary school students enrolled in at least half-time status shall be eligible for the student rate for a maximum of 6 post-secondary years in the status. You can find memberships available for annual and lifetime terms. You can contact info@amsat.org for additional membership information. 73, and remember to help keep amateur radio in space. That's from this week's ANS editor, Mitch Ehrenstorf, AD0HJ, and that's mahrenstorff@amsat.org. So we might have to rethink doing some of these really long lists here in the future, but we hope everybody enjoyed this version of the Houston AvSatNet. We look forward to catching everybody next week. So keep playing with those satellites, making lots of radio contacts and satellite contacts. And from Andy, W5ACM, Bruce, KK5DO, up there in Roman Forest, and myself, Marty, WV5Y, in Northwest Houston, we say 7-3 for this week from the Houston AvSatNet.